terrible.
Okay. Exodus chapter 20. This is really kind of one of those elusive commands that I struggle with, and I think we'll have a good discussion on it this evening. All right? And I've got in my mind, I think, kind of where it is, but it's still, I don't know that I've got my finger on it, but I'm trying to sort it out. So somebody read Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
What do you think that command's about? Not what?
Not wanting what your neighbor is.
Probably jealous.
Okay, now I want to hear all these. Let's do them one at a time. Each of you. Not
wanting everything your neighbor has.
Not wanting everything your neighbor has.
Don't be envious.
Don't be envious.
Jealousy.
Who said something over here?
I was saying the same thing, Carmen. It's not wanting what you
have. Be happy with what you got.
Be happy with what you got. Kenneth?
This car looks awful nice.
You can tell Kenneth's weaknesses. But you know what? Do we all have one?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. I guess we buy, I guess.
But you need to drive that Cadillac more. Okay. One thing that I think we've got to be very careful, and I think this is one of those commands that Kenneth likes nice cars. I really don't care about nice cars. Does that mean Kenneth's doing anything wrong? I think we've got to be real careful in some of the judgments that we make. I think it's kind of nice that God made more than one kind of toy. Okay? God gave us the ability to make more than one kind of toy. If everybody liked the same toy, nobody would ever be able to play. Does that make sense? And so I really sought this out. This is one thing that's been on my mind. And as I look at some of the passages, there's got to be a balance in this covet stuff. Okay? And all the phrases that we had here. I think these all come into play. But I'm not so sure as I've, in my studies, if there's not one caveat that trumps the whole thing to help us to see what that really means. What does it mean to covet? Okay. How many of you want to have breakfast in the morning or dinner tomorrow? Anybody thinking of dinner? You want that, right? Does that mean you covet it?
No.
Okay, so now we've gotta stop and think. We're gonna look at Abraham here in a minute. Was Abraham wealthy? We're talking exceptionally wealthy. He had a standing army of 300 soldiers. I think that made him wealthy. Does that mean he was covetous? So, do you think that some of these phrases that went around, do you think it matters how much money you actually have? About whether or not you're covetous?
No.
Okay, so this is something. See, these are the details. We've got to know some basic things, I think, to really get a grasp on covetousness. Tim?
If you read that commandment, it's not telling us not to improve ourselves, not to want better for ourselves. When I think of covet and what that means, I think of Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted that vineyard. Well, actually, he wanted the vineyard.
Yeah.
She got it for him.
Ahab wanted the vineyard.
Yeah, Ahab wanted the vineyard. She got it for him. He coveted that vineyard.
Remember what he did? You remember what Ahab did? He wanted it and Naboth wouldn't give it to him. What did he do?
Cry.
Oh, I can't have the vineyard. I'm so upset. I just can't do it. And that's what he did.
But it's the idea of a nice car. You can have a nice car. You can have a nice plane. It becomes a problem when you try to take someone else's because you want it, that.
Yeah, and I think, and there's another thing that we're going to bring into this, but I see, and this is, to me, I think something so very important, and it really, it's not a matter of taking it, it's a matter of the internal desire. Okay. What's that?
You shouldn't take it either.
No, you know, I've got my own wife. Why would I want my neighbor's? I got enough trouble, right?
Well, it's a question of admiration.
Admiration.
There's a difference between admiring somebody's possessions mm-hmm. and wanting them for your own.
It's a good thought. So, did you catch what she said? It's a difference between admiring and wanting for your own. I think those are good thoughts, Tim, or Brian.
Also, I was reading over that. If you're not counting your own blessings, you're not looking at what's been given to you, mm-hmm. but you're being blessed all over the place, but you're still looking at what your neighbor has and saying, that's not enough, Lord, I want that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to want to better yourself, like Tim said, but not giving acknowledgement to God.
See, and this is the other caveat, that, and I think these two are the two of the things that really make up covetousness. Kenneth and I talked about this Cadillac before he ever bought it, and he just almost was not going to do it. And we had this discussion. Do you remember that discussion, Kenneth? And huh?
Remember, I really didn't need it.
You didn't need it, you know, and so. And it came, the basis of the conversation came back to what Brian said. Are you going to put God on second burner? And so, and this is a big key, Tim.
Along with that is, you could tie the parable of the rich farmer.
Yeah, and what did the rich farmer do?
It's not the fact that God didn't bless him.
Yeah.
It's that he didn't bless God.
That's right. He said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Spend it all on yourself. You remember the man that stole? Jesus said, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. The rich man didn't have that in mind. It was all about me. And so I think that kind of feeds into a little bit of this. Well, what does it mean, covetousness? Because we live in a very materialistic society, and quite frankly, we live like kings. You know, you can take the, you know, finally, thanks for the deal on the homelessness. And so I interviewed for that article and see where they lied. But anyway, the thing is, we've got homeless people that are living pretty good, pretty high. Okay, and of course, you know, our politically correctness, we've got to say that we're treating them terrible because they want to be bums and do nothing for the most part and want us to support them. Okay, I'm not politically correct. Okay, I rub shoulders with a lot of them. I know there's some that really need help, but I can tell you where the most of them are at. Awful lot of them, but that's beside the point. And so So as we look at covetousness, the richest man in the world, I was talking to Steve about a very wealthy man who had all kinds of stuff, he would just as be susceptible to covetousness as the guy with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth in the front of that paper, okay, who's the poster child for homelessness. It doesn't matter how much we have. All right, so let's get into some real verses real quick. Let's go... I've got a lot I want to look at. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We won't get to all of them, but I'm going to try to get to a bunch of them. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We are on verse page 544. Old Testament. Okay, so I want somebody to read verse 8 to begin with.
If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter, for high official watches over.
Chapter 4. I knew something was wrong. Sorry. She was in 5. That's where I told her to go, but that was my mistake. I was looking. I want 5, 10, and 11, and so I'm
in 4:8.
Yeah, you're in 4:8. Thank you.
There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all of his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is a vanity and a grave misfortune.
His eyes, what?
Never satisfied.
Never satisfied. Have you ever known a rich person that thought they was rich?
They just wanted more.
They just wanted more, you know? Never satisfied, you know? You know, it amazes me. You know how God says He takes care of the sparrow and He's going to take care of us, and how He's good to the evil and the unthankful? I've rubbed shoulders with all kinds of people that had lots of money and no money, and they were all blessed. They all had food. They all had all kind of a place to stay. They all had struggles with bills and problems and difficulties. And we think that it'd just be better if we had more money. No, it's not. It's really not. Now, it doesn't matter. Work to get more. That's great. That's fine. But just remember that there's still problems that come. And that doesn't solve all your problems. I knew a man that, you know, I studied with him for a long time. And he told me one day, he said, man, if I just had $1 million, it'd solve all my problems. Of course, I knew him. I said, listen, I said, if you had $1 million, it'd make you the most miserable person on the face of this earth. Now, he didn't believe that. But you know what? I know at one time he made lots of money. In his lifetime, he made some big money. But he's all gone. But money didn't make any happiness. Now, it's okay to want properly. But you better keep it in perspective. Now, let's go to chapter 10, or chapter 5. I want to read verses 10 and 11.
He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance and with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them, and what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?
Okay, so I remember the first little bit of silver that I bought. Do you think that satisfied me? I thought, oh, I got to have more. Okay, and so It doesn't make you happy. Do you remember the bicycle you wanted when you was little? And you thought that once you got that bicycle, that was the epitome of life and you was going to be the happiest person in the world. How long did it last?
1 week. Then you see the neighbor's bicycle is better than yours.
Yeah, then the neighbor's got a better bicycle. And then you're really bummed out.
Yeah.
Do you have bigger bills now that you got in this business, Tim? You know what I found? The bigger money you get into, and you're dealing, you deal with a fair amount of money in the job, isn't it? But you got a lot of struggles.
The more money you make, the more money you spend.
Well, yeah, but well, and it's not because you're necessarily spending it more, but you have more bills and more responsibilities and more challenges that come along. Is that true? Am I saying the right thing? You know, and I've played a couple different hands over my lifetime, and we lived most of my life from about 91. We lived well below the poverty level. We had everything in the world we could want. Didn't we, Rachel? Well, Rachel's... She was a teenager at the time. She never had everything she wanted. But we had all kinds of food. We had cars to drive. You know, we had a roof over our head. And we had all kinds of fun. Okay, we did things. You know? I really think that this thing about covetousness is we've got to be very careful. It's okay to want more. But don't expect the problems to solve when you get more. There'd just be bigger problems, you know? I deal with an individual that I go into his house, and he's got an amazing house among people that don't have. Got his own home theater, servants' quarters, servants.
You're in town?
I ain't telling you where he's at.
No, you just said you're in town.
I ain't telling you where he's at. Oh. You want to know money problems? I could show you money problems. Serious money problems. It ain't about money. It's about management and use. Brian?
Hebrews chapter 13.
Hebrews 13. Let's all get there. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6.
What page?
It's almost to Revelation, so okay. I haven't got there yet.
I'll have a page number, I'm sorry. Reading on my phone.
Yeah.
Hebrews what?
13, 198.
That's the page that just before James.
Okay. Hebrews 13.
Let your conversation be without covetousness. I can't say the word covetousness.
Join the crowd.
And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. So it says, don't be talking about with covetousness, but be content with what you have.
Yeah.
I kind of just thought that fit with what we're saying here.
I think it does. Now, so in other words, should we never try to get anything more?
No.
I don't think that's what it's saying. Okay. But see, this is where a lot of times people read the Bible and they don't read the whole Bible. Okay. They pick out little passages and they say, okay, that's a bunch of nonsense. It's kind of like the Muslim that said that since there were, God was three, the Bible couldn't be true. Thinking, would you read the whole thing? Okay, but anyway, but beside the point. But the thing is, you got to look at the whole thing. And so he said, no, don't do that. He said, that's not, that should not be your focus in life. Okay?
You're worshiping something. Everybody's worshiping something.
Right there.
You're worshiping God. You're worshiping the money you're getting in. Worshiping whatever toy you can get. You're putting something at the greatest importance in your life.
Yep.
And
yep.
You're supposed to. If you put God first, everything else will fall into place.
See, and this is where really the ball is in. This is the whole point of this whole thing about covetousness. If God is still the priority in your life, it's okay to gain and get and strive for more. But if God ever takes second place, that's covetousness. That's my opinion. Now, there's a passage I want to get to, and so I want to go ahead and let's go it now. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119:36. And this is where I wanted to end, and I'm afraid that I won't get through in time. And so 119:36, page 512.
Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness.
Okay, hang on. Let everybody get there first. Okay, I'm there. Is everybody there?
119, what is it?
119:36. Okay.
Okay.
Now say it again.
Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness.
Okay. Now this was planned to be my ending point. Okay, and I know we're getting down close. I wanted to look at Eve. Okay? She looked at that what?
Fruit.
And she said, man, that looks good. Like make me wise, like it'd be really great to eat. And there was another one. What was it? One to make you wise. It's pleasant to the eyes, good for food, and one to make you wise. She wanted that. And Satan said, God don't want you to have that because you'll be wise like him. And she said, I like it. But what was the caveat there? What did God say? God said no. You see, in the it's covetousness when you disobey God to gain it. You see, and that's where the Psalm 119 comes in. It says, incline my heart unto your testimonies and not to covetousness. See, in other words, a lot of times we want things, and so what do to get things? God, I'm kind of busy right now. You take second fiddle. Let me tell you something. I see this over and over and over and over again. People struggle and strain and they're trying to get more and more. So what happened? God, I'm kind of busy. I really don't have time, and I know you want me to have more and to gain and to get, and I know, God, you want me to take good care of my family, right?
Once I get this off.
And God, you want me to be able to put money in the collection plate, right? So God, I'm going to have to put you on the back burner, and I'm going to go get this. I think that's good. Anytime we do something disobedient to God to get, we're in trouble. I believe that's covetous. God had better be your priority in life. I'll guarantee you that God will take care of you if you put him first. You might miss out on something that you would really like to have because God has something else that he expects you to be doing. But I'll guarantee you, if God takes second fiddle, don't expect your life to go good. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over again. I've helped many people come to Christ, and they're always, their first priority is they got to take care of all the financial stuff first. And God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to do it. But it's always tomorrow, and it never comes. And they're gone. And they wonder why they can't get their life together.
Well, and I think it's also not just here and now, but if we're putting God in second fiddle, we're not going to have our mentions
that. I'll guarantee you that's the fact. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Guys, let me tell you something. We can fool ourselves here. We can soothe our conscience to make it feel like we're good old Joe and we're a fine Christian when we're covetous. And God takes second string in our lives. And I've got news for you. If God's going to take second string in your life, I think it's going to be more struggles. And then I guarantee you, you're going to wake up on the day of judgment and say, I sure wish I hadn't done that. Let God be your priority. God will bless you. He'll help you, and He'll give you whatever you need to help you to be what you need to be. That may be a lot of struggles and challenges and problems in your life, but He'll bring you through. You see, God expects us to put the best foot forward first, and then He'll take care of us. And sometimes we may have some long streams of problems, right? But we're sure trying to live for God, right? And we're not going to let it stop us, even though something goes wrong. But God knows us, and He knows what we need. I wish I could convince Him that I needed something different. Like
that.
Amen. Tim, I pray for you. I know it's challenging. But I think you got a good heart.
He's always there trying to stop us.
Did Satan? Yeah. Satan's always trying to stop us.
That's what I was thinking when you were talking about Eve and the fruit.
Yeah.
I mean, in my mind, I have a picture that Satan, you know, had it shining or something.
Oh, yeah.
And beautiful.
It looked
really
good.
Really stand out for her. And, yeah.
Well, I always tell the kids, remember, it was a woman that was the downfall of all mankind.
The woman you gave me, God. I tell Dorothy that a lot.